Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science. Now, requests have come in, and I'm very happy to take requests, actually, because it means there's people listening and people want me to cover certain things. And when they come in, I look at the topic and make sure I know something about it, dig into it a bit, and then, hey presto, I will actually cover it. So email me on laoneill, with two L's, at tcd.ie, and I will try to cover the topic you're asking for. But this one, I've had two people in the past 2 weeks or so requesting it. It is the science of stem cells. And Danny Mahan and Caroline Cray have asked me to cover this. Caroline in particular has osteoarthritis, and she's been reading all about stem cells to treat osteoarthritis. Danny has a more general interest about it because he's obviously reading loads about it, and you will see a lot of stuff on this. And every time I do a search myself on biomedical breakthroughs, a cell therapy approach comes up because it's hugely active. And, you know, there's optimism. Now, nothing is there yet. Let's start with that. Now, there has been approval of cell therapy approaches, as I explained, for leukemias and certain types of cancer. So there are drugs, as it were, on the market that are based on cells that can be used, and they can be seen as a stem cell based thing. But a bona fide cell therapy based on stem cells that affects major diseases has yet to be approved by the FDA. Now, it is coming, I predict, because there are many, many trials running. Huge amount of research, loads of different companies are involved, and so therefore all this effort, as ever, will hopefully yield eventually. Now, what is it? Well, stem cells will give rise to cells in your body, and that might be a neuron in your brain, it might be a pancreatic cell in your pancreas, it might be a cartilage-making cell in your joint, and of course the capacity to make those cells then could mean you can inject them into a joint, and that cell will now start making cartilage. Or maybe the neuron injected into your brain will now start making dopamine in the case of Parkinson's. Or maybe it'll be in your pancreas and you start making insulin. So we're talking about a therapeutic that's based on cells. Now that's very different from standard therapeutics. Like you take a tablet, don't you, usually? And that tablet might be a painkiller or it might be an antibiotic. And that's been well known for over 100 years now, I guess. There are biologic therapies you can inject based on antibodies, and these are seen as sort of standard ways to treat disease. This is injecting live cells into your body. And we use the term cell therapy for this because you're actually growing up cells in a test tube, as it were. And they're now being injected, and those living things, the living drug, if you will, they're being injected into your body to have some kind of therapeutic effect. Now, as I say, it is happening already. The first time this was really used was for leukemia. Now, in leukemia, that is a type of cancer of your immune system, and your immune system is made in your bone marrow. I guess I've mentioned this a few times before. And the bone marrow, that pinky stuff in bones, that actually is your immune system growing, and that gets into your bloodstream and now forms your immune system. Leukemia is a cancer of those cells. So, of course, they realized, well, what if we get rid of all the leukemic cells by using chemo, kill them all off, and then replace the bone marrow with a donor bone marrow who hasn't got the leukemia, and now the bone marrow is now growing in the person's bones, making an immune system that isn't leukemic and hasn't got leukemia cells. And that was the first example of this, because they could take bone marrow cells and grow as stem cells and grow them into different types of immune cells and inject them in. So in other words, in your bone marrow, you would have stem cells that could become immune cells. And they're now being used, and that's approved. And it's a godsend. Certain types of leukemia is 90% cure rate using these so-called hematopoietic stem cells to treat leukemia. And that's approved by the FDA. Every hospital in Ireland, St. James's, is a great place for this. So, and a guy called Sean McCann, an old colleague of mine, he's retired. He was the pioneering hematologist who brought bone marrow stem cell therapy for leukemia to Ireland and saved many lives. The second example where it's approved is a thing called SCID. Now, SCID stands for Severe Combined Immunodeficiency. And these are babies that are born with no immune system. And you may have heard of this, the boy in the bubble idea, where babies were born, had to be kept in these sterile environments. No immune system means they're very susceptible to infection. Again, they can now inject stem cells into those babies that build the immune system de novo in that baby, which is tremendous. And this is a way to treat SCID. Yet again, the baby has a damaged immune system, so you replace it with a healthy immune system from stem cells. And again, that's been approved in the US. And there are two examples, there's one or two more, but they're the main examples that we have of stem cell therapy. Now let's move beyond that to see what's coming next. It's probably worth defining what a stem cell is. It's a term that's used for a very immature cell, if you know what I mean. We use the word stem. It's like a stem on a plant that grows and leaves grow from the stem, kind of thing, you know. So it's a precursor, I guess, is what you might think of it. And the stem cells then can be taken and then grown into many different cell types. The ultimate stem cell is the fertilized egg. That contains the information to make a full human being. Now, what that means is that fertilized egg starts to divide. Initially, it's a blob of cells. Over time, the cells begin to specialize and you get lung cells, you get liver cells, you get brain cells. But remember, they all began in the fertilized egg, which is a single cell type. So what that means is the DNA in the fertilized egg has the information to make any cell type in the body. And all that's happening is a thing called cell specialization. So the cell, one cell decides to become a liver cell. Now, what that means is that cell can make certain enzymes to help you digest food, because the liver makes enzymes to digest food. Another cell type turns into a neuron, which is in your brain. Now, both cell types, the neuron and the liver cell, still have all the DNA. Because remember, every time a cell divides, you copy the entire DNA. And all that's happening is the genes that says make enzymes are turned on in the liver, whereas the genes that say make a brain are turned on in the neurons, whereas the genes that say make an enzyme are turned off in the brain, and the ones to make a brain are turned off in the liver. Because remember, all cell types have the exact same set of genes. Very, very important. Now, what this means is you can then take an embryonic cell from an embryo and use that to grow different cell types. And in fact, embryonic stem cells, which I'll come on to, is a very important part of this, controversial because you're using embryos in that regard. But that discovery that every cell in your body has all the DNA was discovered by a guy called John Gurdon in Cambridge. And he was able to take frogs. It was his animal of choice. He took a skin cell from a frog. He reprogrammed that cell back to being like the fertilized egg, and he grew a whole frog from that cell. Now, what that meant was the origin of the new frog was a skin cell. Isn't that remarkable? And he could prove then that that skin cell could be, here's a big word for you, de-differentiated back into the fertilized egg. Because we call this process of cell specializing differentiation. You get a different cell from another cell, and one can be liver, one can be neuron. So we call it differentiation. De-differentiation is winding the movie back, if you like, back to the origin. And that origin is the fertilized egg. And Gurdon discovered that, right? And as will be important in a moment, he wins the Nobel Prize in 2012 for that discovery. So that notion then, any cell in your body then, could be used to make any other cell type, begins with John Gurdon. Now, the current ones that I used, they began with embryos. You could start with a fertilized egg, I guess. But the embryonic stem cells were grown in dishes and they could tweak them, and they realized that they could add various growth factors and various chemicals and grow from an embryonic stem cell a nerve cell, or grow from an embryonic stem cell a pancreatic cell. And they were able to do this about 20, 25 years ago. And it's controversial because you're using human embryos. And in the US, they were banned and there was all kinds of restrictions on these. But still, they're being used. These embryonic stem cells are a feature, which I will come back to. Now, the second area that's less controversial is to use what are called mesenchymal stem cells. There's a big word for you, the mesenchyme. Now, all that means is it turns out that in tissues in your body, there are stem cells anyway. So, for example, in fat tissue, you will find stem cells that could be turned into a neuron or could be turned into a pancreatic cell. Equally, in the bone marrow, the bone marrow is a very rich source of many different types of stem cells, actually, and use that as a source. And these are from the adults, so less controversial. And it turns out that fat tissue has loads of stem cells in it. Now, why would that be? We think it's because they're there to repair damage. So, for example, if you injure yourself, fix up that wound, you know, grow some cells to form a patch, if you will, grow skin cells to cover over the scar or whatever. They have their origins in stem cells that were in the fat tissue or in the skin or in the bone marrow. So it's almost like as if all over your body, you've got immature cells waiting to turn into the cell you need to repair the damage. And that's where this began, this research of these mesenchymal stem cells. And they're being used more and more as a source of stem cells. So the two sources then are embryonic stem cells or mesenchymal stem cells that come from adults. Now, the third one, though, and get this, the science is tremendous behind this. There are things called, more mouthful, induced pluripotent stem cells. Isn't that a great word? Now, the word pluripotent tells you something. Pluripotent kind of means powerful, right? So pluripotent stem cells that can be induced, iPSCs is what we call these, were discovered by a Japanese scientist called Yamanaka. Now, get what he did. And this is fantastic science. He took skin cells. You can get skin cells of anybody. You can take a punch biopsy off skin. And he was able to program those skin cells almost all the way back to a fertilized egg. Isn't that remarkable? Now, how did he achieve this? There were many people trying to do this. They were adding various chemicals and factors, and they were managing to de-differentiate, remember the word, to some extent. But old Yamanaka discovered that if you stuck four genes into that skin cell, it became almost like a fertilized egg. So it went all the way back. You played the movie back. Those four genes are called MYC, OCT, SOX2 and KLF, right? OKSM, we use the initials. OK, so make me is what I call this. So OKSM, OCT, SOX, KLF and MYC. Stick those four genes into a skin cell and it begins to think it's like an embryo. Isn't that remarkable? Now, when he made that discovery, he knew immediately this could be a source of stem cells to grow into different cell types to use therapeutically. And iPSCs have taken over. My lab even has them. Many labs grow them. We grow immune cells from iPSCs. And they're human, remember? You can take a human skin cell now and turn that cell into a lymphocyte or a macrophage and study them in the lab. And it's great. And it's a very convenient thing to do. But of course, Yamanaka realized this could be a way to make stem cells. Now, he wins the Nobel Prize in 2012 with John Gurdon, who was the guy who said the DNA has all the information to make any cell type. And then Yamanaka comes along and cracks a way to make these stem cells and then use them in various diseases. And he gets the credit for this. Now, again, no iPSCs have been approved yet for therapeutic use by the FDA, but loads of companies are growing these different cell types from the iPSC population. And there's big optimism that this may work. Now, I'm going to give you one scenario here, and this is a bit like a semi-science fiction, but it could happen. Let's say you're diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Now, what that means is the neurons in your brain are dying, and they're dying in a part of your brain that controls movement, and then that's why you get the main symptom of Parkinson's is the tremor and all that kind of thing. Those neurons, they're making a thing called dopamine, a neurotransmitter, and they're dying off and you can't make dopamine. Now, what if you're diagnosed and I now take one of your skin cells and I program that skin cell back into an iPSC with MYC, OCT, SOX and KLF1, and now I've played the tape back on that skin cell, and now I can take that stem cell from the skin cell and make it into a neuron that makes dopamine, and I inject those into your brain, right? Now, isn't that an amazing idea? That's exactly what they've done. And literally in the last few weeks, two big clinical trials have done what I just described there. They made iPSCs, turned them into neurons that can make dopamine, injected them into people with Parkinson's, and guess what? It seems to have worked a bit. Now, again, we've got to be tentative. It was in Nature, which is a very important journal for publishing breakthroughs. It was a Japanese study and a US study. The US study had 12 people involved. The Japanese study had 7 people involved. In the case of the Japanese study, they used the iPSCs, the way I described it, from skin. In the case of the US study, they used the embryonic ones, which again raises the controversies, but still they began with the embryonic stem cells. But in both cases, they made neurons that could make dopamine, put them into the brains, and these Parkinson's people, over 18 months, they were able to make dopamine and they got some symptomatic relief, which is the big breakthrough here. They could show the cells were growing. They could show them making dopamine, and there they showed that some of the tremor and some of the symptoms began to get relieved in these patients. And this has caused a big sort of excitement, because Parkinson's is a very tough disease, very hard to treat, and we're seeing then the first signs this might actually work. So fingers crossed that this will turn out to be the case. I think the other thing from this study is it's not that many people, which we always watch slightly, but very well studied. Very importantly, it was safe. The worry would be these neurons would go crazy in your brain and cause all kinds of side effects. There's also a worry that they might form cancerous cells because these cells are growing like crazy. That hasn't happened. So again, the main conclusion from this was very safe and possibly effective. So we're on the road now, and lots more studies will be done, more trials will be carried out in Parkinson's. And then, of course, you can imagine where this will go as well. Alzheimer's, motor neuron disease. These are all diseases where the neurons die in your brain. What if you can just inject some fresh neurons and they do their job in the brain and relieve the symptoms of those diseases? And again, you can imagine the impact that would have on the amount of suffering that these diseases cause. Now, because Caroline asked me about arthritis, again, that was the one to go after, because osteoarthritis, your cartilage wears away and the bones rub off each other, and it's very painful and debilitating. Anybody with osteo will know. There's 500 million people in the world with osteoarthritis, and it gets worse as you get older. Current ways to treat, there are painkillers that work a bit. Paracetamol actually can work a little bit. And of course, surgery, the main way we treat it is a knee replacement or a hip replacement that's used for osteoarthritis. That's a big operation. It does work, but still it's a bit troublesome to go through a knee replacement. Now, what if you can inject cells into the osteoarthritic knee and those cells begin to make cartilage and repair the cartilage that's worn away? And again, lots of people have tried. They've taken stem cells from the bone marrow. They've taken stem cells from fat tissue, again, as a source, grown them into a cell type called the chondrocyte. Now, the chondrocyte is the specialized cell in your joints that makes cartilage, so that makes sense. And the question is, has it worked? Now, it's controversial. Some people claim it works. And a big study, I looked into this specifically actually just to see. There's been a meta-analysis, which means lots of different trials examined simultaneously, 25 trials, and guess what? It worked a bit. Now, the effect was small, and the conclusion was it's not really working, to be honest. Now, one or two studies, there was a bigger effect, so I guess it needs to be optimized, and there's some hope it might work eventually, but at the moment, it's not really working. Now, why would that be? Well, that's a tough environment. I mean, you're injecting living cells into a joint. That joint is moving all the time, you know, and the cells die off. They don't like it, you know. And what they're trying to do now is stick the cells in a special hydrogel mesh to let them grow there. They're putting them into implants. They're also trying genetic approaches to get cells in the joint to start making the cartilage. So various attempts are being made based on cell therapy, and there's a huge amount of effort going into it because these osteoarthritis is such a common disease. So I hate to say it, Caroline, so far you wouldn't be going down the cell therapy route for osteoarthritis, but watch this space. Lots of efforts are there. Now, where there's better news is heart disease and heart failure. Now, when you have heart disease, the cells in your heart die, right? And again, there are stem cells being grown into heart cells, and they're being injected into the heart, and there's some evidence this is working. One study I came across was taking stem cells and making them into heart cells. There was a 58% decreased risk of a heart attack. Now, that's important because if you've won a heart attack, there's a risk of another one, and that decreases the risk of that. So again, that's hopeful. Maybe heart disease will be a place we'll see these really being used. And then the last one are lung diseases. They're getting very good at growing lung cells from stem cells. And again, you might replace damaged lung tissue. That can happen in all kinds of diseases. COPD is the big one where the lungs really get damaged. And what if you have COPD and you just take an injection and all these cells go into your lungs and repair the lung? So again, lung disease is a big one to watch for. And you're getting the idea now. Almost every disease is being explored, which is tremendous, using stem cells and cell therapy. So again, a huge amount of activity. The predicted market size for this, get this, if this begins to work, is over $1 billion by 2031. So in other words, if some of this begins to work, the drug companies inevitably are trying to make a profit, I suppose. They will begin to make money on this. At the moment, it will be expensive. And people are trying to calculate the cost of this. It's at least $100,000 a year for a patient to pay for this stuff. The reason for that is it's a very elaborate thing to do. It's not just taking a tablet, is it? You got to take stem cells from your skin, from your liver, or from your fat tissue, or from your bone marrow, engineer them, make them into the cell you want, re-inject them back in the body. So it's a very elaborate process. So it's not as simple as taking a tablet. That's why the costs are so high at the moment. But of course, if this begins to work, the price will come down. The iPSC approach, that's cheaper than trying to isolate cells from fat or bone, for instance. So they're well aware of the cost aspect of this. And of course, the goal will be to make it as cheap as possible for patients to get access to it. Initially, it'll be expensive, and then hopefully the price will come down. But price is an issue that will be especially relevant to this approach. But as I say, many companies, huge effort to try to make stem cells into cells that you want to cure or treat all these different diseases where cells have been damaged and won't work properly. And my prediction is heart problems will be the first place we'll see the biggest impact based on what I'm reading. And then next might be Parkinson's and those diseases, given the recent studies that have just been published. So we keep our fingers crossed for stem cells and cell therapy. And there you have it, the science of stem cells. And thanks for that request, came in from Caroline and Danny. And as I say, please do send me any requests. And of course, my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.